Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 9th day of August, 2022, arguably a day that will live in infamy. I'm your host, Mark Call, and let's start off our look at, no, not World War III, but Civil War 2.0. Big Brother and his Gestapo have fired off yet another major Fort Sumter event, and if you didn't already know that the rule of law was dead, stay tuned, because the hits just keep on coming. And let's go first to the Daily Mail headline from the UK rather than the American Pravda. After all, the open gloating by the Fourth Reich and their Gestapo about putting down the enemy of the fatherland is a bit tough to take. FBI raids Mar-a-Lago, it says today, as part of investigation, sick, into, quote, classified material Trump took after departing White House. Ex-president confirms, quote, my home was under siege by a large group of agents who even broke into my safe. And the difficult part about the magnitude of this, folks, is really trying to put it all into perspective. History is replete with examples and non-examples, but let's start with a really recent example, kind of a slap in the face, courtesy of J.D. Hayes and Natural News, who put it this way, as it turns out, just before this particular news broke. Quote, while it's not likely to happen anytime soon, he wrote, there's no better time than now for Congress to defund and disband the FBI because it's become nothing more than a Democrat protection agency, like the Just Us department that it answers to. And there's no better proof of this, he continues, than the Bureau's politicized behavior when it comes to protecting Joe Biden and his corrupt bribe collector, the whoring, crack-smoking, influence-peddling son, Hunter Biden. Oops, well, there is now. The federal fixers confiscated that incriminating laptop. They've had it ever since, and if they'd gotten away with it, you'd have still never heard about it. But now the regime's internal KGB is breaking new ground, even for a banana republic. Here's how the UK spin begins. Donald Trump said on Monday that his Mar-a-Lago home has been raided by the FBI, reportedly as part of an investigation. I gotta say it again, sick. You know they're not investigating anything, folks. This corrupt bunch of fixers doesn't find evidence. They disappear it. This is a political assassination. Into, it says, whether or not the former president took classified documents with him when he left the White House. Full stop. Do you know who has the sole power to declassify anything and everything? Answer, the sitting president. All he had to do was declassify him and then take anything he wanted. They don't even bother to tell you that. They do, though, say this, and I'm not going to read it the way they printed it. The raid comes as Donald Trump is considering another bid for the presidency. So far, it's true. And his actions after the 2020 election, where he tried to invalidate, and here I'm going to paraphrase just a bit, the open theft of a U.S. election by those pulling the strings of the senile, diapered at both ends, marionette-in-chief. And they're under investigation by lawmakers, got to say sick again here, don't I, on Capitol Hill. The latest attack on the rule of law began Monday and took hours. A reporter tweeted at 6:36 p.m. that the agents had, quote, just left. Trump released his statement announcing the raid. He wasn't even in Mar-a-Lago when it happened at 6:52 p.m., saying the following. These are dark times for our nation, as my beautiful home, Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida, is currently under siege, raided, and occupied by a large group of FBI agents. Nothing like this has ever happened to a president of the United States before, said Trump in the shocking statement released on Monday night. And that, folks, is true. After working and cooperating with the relevant government agencies, he continued, this unannounced raid on my home was neither necessary nor appropriate. In the lengthy statement, he called it prosecutorial misconduct, the weaponization of the Just Us system, and an attack by radical left Democrats who desperately don't want me to run for president in 2024, especially based on recent polls, and who will likewise do anything to stop Republicans and conservatives in the upcoming midterm elections. And that, folks, is an obvious understatement. This part is kind of obvious as well, but it notes that the highly politicized legal arm of the leftist takeover, i.e. the Department of Justice, wouldn't say whether or not the scumbag, truly reprobate, masquerading as Attorney General Merrick Garland, had personally authorized the search, but, and everybody knows this, it's highly unlikely that an actual raid, for the first time in American history, on a former president, actually a re-elected president, but they're not about to say that, would take place without the AG giving it his personal stamp of approval. The story claims the White House knew nothing about it, and that, folks, at least has a certain ring of truth. I don't think the White House knows when it wants to take a dump, but you can bet those pulling his strings did. In his lengthy statement, which the Daily Mail does at least quote in full, President Trump goes on to note that sadly America has now become one of those, well, banana republic countries, corrupt at a level never seen before. They even broke into my safe, he said, and he asked, what's the difference between this and Watergate, where operatives broke into the Democrat National Committee? Here, in reverse, Democrats broke into the home of the 45th President of the United States. One easy answer to that question, folks, Nixon had to cover it up and lie about it. This Bolshevik revolution is warning their enemies what they intend to do to them next. He references the fully debunked war that's been going on to him ever since he thwarted the plans of the Wicked Witch of the West to steal the 2016 election, but for the scope of the landslide, from Russia, Russia, Russia to the scam impeachment hoax number one and number two, and so much more, and noted that Hillary Clinton was allowed to delete and acid wash, as he puts it, 33,000 emails after they were even subpoenaed by Congress. But nothing has been done to hold her accountable. She even took antique furniture, White House china, and pretty much you name it, folks. When the Clintons were booted from the White House, it was outright theft, and you know what happened there. Or didn't. And remember what happened after other boxes of confidential information were found in the Clintons' bedroom? Yeah, same answer. I guess, though, come to think of it, those weren't so much confidential government information as they were, evidence. A number of high-profile attorneys, most of them even on the left, universally condemned the Banana Republic-style political hit after it happened. Alan Dershowitz appeared with Sean Hannity to talk about the raid, along with their official legal analyst. First, they turned to Greg Jarrett, and he made some excellent points about the Presidential Records Act of 1978.
Why the big show only when it's a conservative?
Because it's Donald Trump. And this is the weaponization for political purposes by the FBI and the Department of Justice. You're right, Sean, when you identify the Presidential Records Act of 1978, which is far from a model of clarity. And in fact, it's one of the more opaque laws you'll ever read. One of the problems with it is that it gives discretion and authority to the incumbent president to decide what constitutes presidential papers. He may identify, exclude, and dispose of presidential papers. And you point out the classified nature, allegedly, of some of the documents identified by the National Archives. They're not a competent agency to recognize classified documents because a president is the ultimate authority in declassifying documents. He may do so with a wave of his hand without notification to the National Archive. So I think what you're really seeing here is an abuse of power by the FBI, and absolutely both Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, and the FBI Director Christopher Wray.
They would have to have signed off on this,
yes.
Greg. You would agree with that, correct?
Oh, absolutely. They signed.
Okay.
I mean, look, no agent or official at the FBI is going to undertake a raid of this magnitude on a former president of the United States without going to the individuals at the very top. That's Garland and Wray.
From there, Sean Hannity turned to the incredible hypocrisy, crimes for thee but not for me, noting that not only the evil whoremeister James Comey actually did do something very similar, and of course got away with it, but the premier example, arguably in history, of a high-level official actually getting caught red-handed, or red underwear, stuffing national security documents into his drawers at the National Archives was former Clinton-era U.S. National Security Advisor Sandy Berger.
If you remember the case of Sandy Berger, went into the National Archives. He literally shoved documents down into his crotch, in his backside, into his socks, and walked out with those documents.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for. Move along.
But double standard is basically still an understatement, said Alan Dershowitz.
Well, definitely. There is a double standard. We've seen so many instances of allegedly classified material being a compromise.
But then he shifted gears to this, and it's vital. Listen carefully.
The key point that everybody's missing here is that Donald Trump was not in Mar-a-Lago. So there was no reason not to issue a subpoena returnable tomorrow. So that there's no claim that Trump could have destroyed anything. This should have been a subpoena, not a search warrant. If it is a search warrant, it has to have a high level of cause demonstrating that the evidence would have been destroyed.
And he won't say it, but I will. Seems like he's still making excuses for Hitlery. If you're far enough left and the evidence is intended to be destroyed, the FBI will be there to help out.
Not only that, but under the law, if you seize a safe, you don't go into the safe. You have to get a special warrant to get into the safe, and you have to prove that the material in the locked safe would have been destroyed. So it seems to me that they have violated the rules of the Justice Department. They have gone after both a former president and a future candidate, and they darn well better have smoking gun proof, which I don't see happening.
Well, wait a second there. We don't have to have actual proof. The FBI has pretty good history of just making it up. And now at least they have the cover to do so.
And clearly there's been a double standard here. But even if it was a single standard, it's not good enough. You don't get a warrant unless a subpoena won't suffice. In a democratic rule of law country, you do it legitimately.
Okay, well, that's as close as he's going to get. This is not a rule of law country. And here he returns to Greg Jarrett for the key question. And I'll paraphrase it, admittedly a bit more bluntly. How long are Americans going to put up with this incredible, truly communist, Stalinist, Soviet-style, not just double standard, but travesty masquerading as law?
The same with Hillary, the 33,000 emails, the dirty dossier, the FISA applications, Sandy Berger. You run through the list, and nothing ever happens if you're not a conservative or a Republican or a Trump supporter.
Yeah. Let's just take one of those examples, Hillary Clinton. Her home in Chappaqua was never raided, even though she maintained a private server there, upon which she downloaded classified top secret documents, thereby jeopardizing national security and violating the espionage not once or 10 times, but roughly 100 times, accounting for the number of classified documents that she essentially stole and, as I say, jeopardized national security to hacks. And we, in fact, have pretty solid evidence that her server was hacked and foreign agencies retrieved American top secret documents because of her actions. Was she ever prosecuted? No. James Comey stood in front of television cameras and he identified all the crimes she committed and then did a pirouette in the course of 5 seconds and said, but no reasonable prosecutor would ever bring such a case.
Now, wait a minute. We got to pause at this point. No reasonable prosecutor would ever have brought such a case. Well, certainly no actual, real or imagined prosecutor, and for that matter, no actual law enforcement agency would have ever done what Merrick Garland and these scumbags just finished pulling off. And there's the contrast, folks.
No reasonable prosecutor would ever bring such a case. Thousands of reasonable prosecutors would have loved to have brought that case. And besides, James Comey isn't the prosecuting authority. He usurped the power of the attorney general. That's just one example of the double standard that exists with Donald Trump.
Alan Dershowitz, even though he continues to excuse Hitler's criminality and those who've been covering up for her, at least hit this nail on the head.
I don't think you use search warrants and prosecutions to go after political enemies.
I'll skip the brief book ad here.
That's what happens in banana republics. That's what happens in third world countries. That's not supposed to happen in the United States. It was right not to go after Hillary Clinton because she was a candidate for president. You need a much higher standard, but you can't apply one standard to Hillary Clinton and another standard to Donald Trump.
Well, ignoring for a second the fact that there was no standard, including treason, applied to Hillary Clinton, at least the point is made. From there, we'll turn to a bit of the fallout. Your host will suggest yet again that it's intended. For example, American Military News reported that after the Gestapo-style raid, the term civil war began trending on Twitter. By 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, about 3 hours after Trump announced the raid on his own social media platform, Truth Social, civil war had been tweeted or retweeted more than 35,000 times as it began to trend. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, just one of them, noted that what happened was, quote, the type of things that happen in countries during civil war, adding the political persecution must stop, unquote, and unless, folks, people put a stop to it, you know darn well it's only going to accelerate. What the deep state is forcibly putting a stop to is freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, a free press, and any right of the people to petition a crooked government for a redress of grievance. The expression termination with extreme prejudice hits the mark there. National Divorce said this story was another trending keyword. Others included Hitlery, although they didn't spell it right, referring to the criminally evil former Secretary of State with nearly 80,000 tweets, Ray referring to the Whoremeister-in-Chief, of course, and Garland referring to America's own wannabe Heinrich Himmler, Reichsführer of the FBI. America's arguably most forthright politician, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, came out with a blistering response to the Monday night Gestapo raid on President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence, saying, quote, "The raid of MAL is another escalation in the weaponization of federal agencies against the regime's political opponents, while people like Hunter Biden get treated with kid gloves," he said. And now, he added, and remember, folks, they pulled this off on the very same day that the Senate signed off on this totalitarian enabling act. The regime is getting another 87,000 IRS agents to wield against its adversaries. Yep, banana republic. And from the House Judiciary Committee, this tweet, which is particularly apropos, quote, "If they can do it to a former president, imagine what they can do to you." Well, you don't have to, folks. All you have to do is read history. Or, for that matter, George Orwell. And finally, there's no shortage of people who have been advising what's coming for a long time that are now saying, see, we told you so, it's here. One of them, and I guess we'll start off slowly and work our way up, is well-known cycles analyst and economic prognosticator extraordinaire Martin Armstrong, who says, "The Democrats are obviously desperate to win in November by any means necessary, and they're taking the United States down the drain in order to forcefully impose their will, or should I say, the Great Reset. On the approaching 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the far left is toying with what will most likely end in a civil war." Your host will say again, I think that's the intent, folks. "And, of course, this is also obviously the intent, the complete destruction of the once free United States. Never," he says, "in the entire history of the United States has a former president been indicted for any criminal misconduct, not for lack of having deserved it. This has not been because," says Armstrong, "there was never such an incident. Most importantly, the historic precedent is that post-term indictment is not legally allowed. Americans don't like the idea of criminalizing politics. Just look at what's happening in Ukraine. Remember that in January 2022, Ukraine's former president, Petro Poroshenko, landed in Kiev and was charged with treason by the American puppet and comedian Zelensky in a case that illustrates the danger of criminalizing politics. And no doubt about it, most banana republics do the same. One party gets a hold on power, they try to prosecute, persecute, and ultimately even kill the opposition. Up until now, though, both political parties, as well as the public, have seen the prospect of post-term immunity as a guarantee that this country's politics will remain civil and that power will peacefully transition from one party to the other. I guess all of that ended, arguably, when the election was stolen and the so-called transition happened by corruption, subterfuge, theft, and, yeah, I'll say it again, outright treason. But any semblance of peaceful transition, he says, is now crumbling before our eyes. That very precedent, he notes, is what drove then-President Gerald Ford to pardon Richard Nixon. It's also the reason why the Office of the Independent Counsel decided not, although there was tons of evidence, to indict former President Bill Clinton for perjury, and that was probably among the least of his crimes. Never, says Martin Armstrong, in the history of the United States has the FBI ever carried out such a raid. He goes on to note that his computer models are showing that 2022 will represent what he calls a panic cycle, followed in 2023 by a violent cycle, including civil war. And he notes the socialist, Democrat, leftist, Bolsheviks, call them whatever you want, they've certainly crossed the line to the point where the United States is now a banana republic of oppression. The nation has been polarized to the extreme, and this event will almost certainly put it over the top. Author Vox Day, echoing those sentiments, notes that this is a really bad sign for the continued existence of the United States as a unitary political entity, given that, once upon a time anyway, the primary requirement for the peaceful transition of power was to permit the previous office holder effective immunity for actions in office. Federal actions now are more in line with, yep, say it again, third world banana republic traditions, which means regular coups, corruption, and government collapses. And while President Trump may otherwise have been a pretty good president, his courage, he says, failed him in the end. And now it looks like he's beginning to learn the price of failing to fight when the situation requires it. And on that score, folks, Whether I like it or not, your host has to agree. Trump knew or should have known, given the character of the people that he was well aware of, that this was inevitably going to happen, and he should have fought while he still had a chance. Could we very well have had a civil war back in January of 2021? Look back and ask yourself, wouldn't we be better off if we had? Given the intended and successful destruction of everything from the food supply chain to the energy infrastructure to the, well, entire manufacturing base of the country, could we possibly have been any worse off at this point than we are? Could the rule of law be any more dead, for that matter? I'll say it again. I have suggested for years now that the worst possible thing for this country would be a civil war. Well, that is, with the exception of what Big Brother and the Deep State have planned instead. And now they seem to have decided, well, we're going to get the civil war at this point, now that we're successful elsewhere, anyway. Hal Turner on his radio show weighed in thusly, pathetic, he begins, our government is now against fully half the country, plain and simple. We have undisputed public evidence of the Clintons having violated federal law. We have public, reliable evidence of the Bidens violating the law, but they've let all of that go while raiding Trump. And then there's this huge psyop, ongoing for years, calling itself Q or QAnon, telling millions of people, this is all part of the plan. The deep state is panicking because Trump. And he says, insert some nonsense here, like Trump had holy water in that safe he's going to use to resurrect JFK Jr., and in 2 weeks they'll arrest the deep state and hang them all at Gitmo because, yep, the patriots are really in control, despite what it might look like. Or maybe they'll just keep it short and sweet and say something like, say it again, the deep state is panicking. The patriots are in control. That's why all those people had to be killed and injured by the vax, because Trump is playing 256D chess. The entire Q and QAnon projects are designed to keep you docile, and they keep piling on hopium, using the most idiotic, outrageous nonsense to keep you, the dumbed-out American public, docile. The entire QAnon effort has been a complete, total, absolute fraud from the get-go to keep you docile, and millions of you, he notes, fell for it. So now that the FBI has raided Trump's estate at Mar-a-Lago, will you finally pull your head out of your you-know-what, except that you've been had and made a fool of for years, and start taking action? You know that the people who are doing this to Trump right now have already not stopped at murder. They've certainly done it with elections, and they're not about to stop now. He cites some other examples. You've heard some of them, but they bear repeating. The FBI knew in advance about Pulse nightclub shooter Omar Mateen. They were tipped off by the local sheriff. 53 died there. They knew in advance about the Las Vegas shooter, allegedly Stephen Paddock. 60 dead, and some of us would say that's just the tip of that iceberg, folks. Notice you still haven't heard anything about it, including the fact that they were using, no, not bump stocks, but full auto weapons, in more than one location. The FBI knew in advance about Tashin Malik and the San Bernardino terrorists, 14 dead there. They knew about Sandy Hook, Adam Lanza in advance, 26 dead there. They knew about the Boston Marathon bombers, the Tsarnaev brothers, tipped off by the Russians, 3 dead there, hundreds injured. They knew in advance about Parkland High School and Nicholas Cruz, 17 dead. Fort Hood shooter Nidal Hassan, 13 dead. They knew about the Boulder, Colorado shooter Ahmad al-Aliwi Alissa, 10 dead. They knew about Garland, Texas. They knew about 9/11, almost 3,000 dead there. They had a massive amount of evidence concerning McVeigh's accomplices at the Oklahoma City bombing, and a whole lot of lying going on there, still being covered up. 168 dead. They entrapped General Flynn. They knew in advance, and they facilitated January 6th, and ultimately, and he's not alone here, folks, it's pretty clear the FBI is a bona fide domestic terrorist organization weaponized against its own countrymen. Again, think Gestapo and SS. The people, he concludes, who overthrew our government, past tense, with that fraudulent election in 2020, and they almost succeeded back in 2016, but for the level of the landslide, recall, well, they will not stop until they are stopped. Those are the facts. They are not in dispute. And I'll make one last comment, because note, all of this falls right on the heels of the Alex Jones, and I'm going to use this terminology, lynching. Folks, this was not a travesty. This was not a circus trial down in Austin. This wasn't a Star Chamber. Those are usually secret. This wasn't even Banana Republic. This was something right smack out of Austin, Texas, 1860. And it ought to be more than offensive to people. This man was declared to be, well, you know, one of those people, the N-word, therefore not deserving of a trial or justice. We don't want to hear what he has to say. String him up! Turn him into a real slave. And that's precisely what they're now intending to do to everybody. Once they shut down the speech and you don't know about it, Solzhenitsyn was right. And everything else that we've seen before, we're fixing to see again. Brace yourselves, know who you serve, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.